This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه بعد. إن شاء الله تعالى. Today we'll try to finish two hadith 8 and 9, but we'll start reading number 8 first. Yeah. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم طهور إناء أحدكم إذا ولغ فيه الكلب أن يغسله 7 مرات أولاهن بالتراب. أخرجه مسلم وفي لفظ له يعني مسلم فليرق، وللترمذي أخراهن أو أولاهن.
Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The cleansing of the utensil belonging to one of you after it has been licked by a dog is to wash it 7 times, using soil for cleaning at the first time." This is reported by Muslim. Another version in Muslim has, "He should spill the contents." The version in Tirmizi has, "Using soil as the at the first or last time."
This hadith, hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Imam Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned it as one of the hadith that speaks about what keep the water pure and what impure make the water impure. ما هو الذي ينجس الماء والذي يبقي الماء على أصل طهارتي. And this hadith is authentic, as you heard reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah, and that Imam Muslim, whenever he narrates hadith in his sahih with the isnad, it means he believes it's authentic, and that Imam Muslim rahimahullah, one of the most trustworthy scholars or trusted scholars when it came to authenticating the ahadith. Here you heard him saying, and there is a narration in Muslim, he should spill the contents. قَالَ فَلْيُرِقْ should spill the contents. This, even though this addition came in one of the narrations in Sahih Muslim, but many scholars talked about the authenticity of it, like al-Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah wal-Imam ibn Abd al-Barr wa ibn Mandah qalu this edition is shadha. The narrator of this edition, many people narrated the hadith, only one of them mentioned this edition, spoil the content, but the others never mention it. So they said that means he basically narrated something contradict what the other people narrated. واضح؟ So that means we call this hadith shad. إذا خالف الثقة مجموع الثقات أو من هو أوثق من. So this is what they said. But to be honest with you, this objection is not a very strong argument. Why? Because in علم الحديث, in science of hadith, we differentiate between two things. When the trustworthy narrator narrates something that contradicts, or something as an addition that it does not contradict. Can you tell the difference? يعني الشذوذ ليس أن يروي الثقة ما لم يروي الآخرين وإنما أن يروي ما يخالف رواية الآخرين. As Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah said in Sharh al-Ilal al-Tirmidhi, he said that when the trustworthy narrator narrates something that contradicts, that's weak. But if he just bring an addition, an extra meaning that they didn't mention and no contradictions, that's not a weak narration. That's extra information that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have saved the deen through these different narrations. Here when the Prophet ﷺ said, let the person spill the content. Is that something to contradict the other narrations? Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullahu ta'ala said no, because if you believe that when the dog put his mouth inside the water, and that water became impure, you're not allowed to use. Okay, so that means you have to what? Throw it away. It's obvious. There's no contradiction. Is that right? So obviously, nobody would say the Prophet ﷺ telling us to wash it seven times, but by the way, you are allowed to drink the water. Yeah, they said that's obvious. So no contradicting here between the two narrations. That's why the narrator Ali ibn Mushir, that who narrated this through Al-A'mash, is a trustworthy narrator. Al-Bukhari, Muslim, Ahmad, Ibn Ma'in, many scholars consider him as an authentic narrator. طيب. Also, here he said that in a Tirmidhi, there is a version which he said, using soil at the first or last time. So one of the narrator kind of doubted, is it the first or the last? There is one narration explicitly said, the first, in a Tirmidhi as well. So one explicitly said, the first, one explicitly said, it's the first or the last, okay? So here, al-ulama rahimahullah have a question. When he said, so when the hadith said, using soil at the first or last time, this or, from the Prophet ﷺ or from the narrator? Can you tell me what will be the difference? How that will make a difference? How that will make a difference in the ruling? Yes. If the Prophet ﷺ said that, that means the Prophet giving us the option to do the sand in the beginning or the end. But if it's the narrator who's confused, or the narrator said or, that means that's the narrator's opinion, his understanding that this can do the first, or he himself forgot and was not sure about it. And most of the ulama said it is actually a statement from the narrators and from the narrator himself. That's why the majority of the narrators said the first should be with sand. Except another narration, we'll talk about it later on, which is also in a Tirmidhi. He said, وَعَفِّرُوهُ الثَّامِنَةَ بِالتُّرَابِ. Use the sand or the soil to basically rub the container with it in the eighth time. He said, طَهُورُ إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, the cleansing, the purification of you, the utensil belonging to one of you. So the purification, tahur. So that means it's not pure. That's why we purify it. So that means if it's not pure, it is najis. That's how the ulama rahimahumullah took it. And by the way, he said ina. Ina is utensils, and that goes to cups, goes to anything that you use like utensils. So let's say the dog licked the spoon, licked the knife, licked the anything like that, it will take the same ruling. Okay? So it doesn't need to be a ball or a plate. So anything that in the same concept, like cup or anything like that, if you want to use it, you have to wash it seven times. The first one of them should be with sand. From this hadith, al-ulama rahimahumullah said that an-najasa, impurity, can be divided into three levels. Najasatu mughallada, extreme najasa, extreme impurity. Okay? And they said this is the impurity of the dog and pigs. They said the pigs, similar to it. And they said impurity which is regular, like the urine of the human and the feces, and they said these are basically a regular type of najasa. Wa najasa mukhaffafa, a najasa which is lighter najasa, light najasa. Light najasa, they said, like what? Like the vomiting. Because the vomiting, you do need to wash it completely, just by spraying water over it will be enough. Or like the Prophet ﷺ said about al-madhi, which is the discharge that comes out of sexual activity other than the sperm. So they said that madhi that comes out, it is mukhaffaf. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, just basically make your hand wet and spark some water on it will be enough to clean it. Or they said also, like bawlul jariya, you know, if you have an infant female and she urinate, you don't need to wash it. The Prophet ﷺ ordered us just to spray water over it. So these things, these considered najasa mukhaffafa, light najasa. As for يعني, the issue of the impurity of the dog, and is it true that this the dog's saliva makes the water najis? Is that something, what I just said earlier, is that something like agreed upon, or this is something that ulama rahimahumullah debated over? This issue has a lot of, there is a lot of information about it. We'll summarize some of it. I put together some points for lil fa'ida. First, I want to say that human beings, generally speaking, naturally inclining to like dogs. That's something natural. That's why it's been man's best friend. That's right. And been best friend of human beings since long, long time ago. And we know the story of Ahlul Kahf, the story of the cave, where they had their dog with them. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, even the dog was mentioned in a positive manner because he was in the company of good people. Also, al-kilab, known to be a hunting method. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَوْ مَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ مُكَلِّبِينَ. What you taught from al-jawarih, mukallibin, what mukallibin means, the dog, the trained dog for hunting, as Mujahid and al-Dhahhak and al-Suddi and others said. Also, especially here in the Western society, dogs are very common. The culture that we're living in America here, it's a culture where dogs are basically part of the culture, part of the concept of civilizations. You know, that's why they said between 37 to 47% of Americans or American households owns dogs. That make it from 70 to 80 million people in America owns dogs. You can't walk the street anytime unless you see someone in the neighborhood have a dog. And it's very rare to find someone in your neighborhood don't have a dog, that's right? So that's something, why I'm saying this, because it means we interact with dogs a lot. Any airport you go, there is a dog sniffing your body or your bags, you know, a canine. In this society, we deal with dogs a lot in a more friendly way. Manners, I guess. So that's why I think it's important for us to understand the rulings, the Islamic rulings related to dogs. And the first thing is, what's the ruling in regard to the purity of the dog's saliva? Okay. So, and al-ulama rahimahullah said, the saliva or the sweat of the dog. Okay. Like, for example, if you notice that the nose of the dog always wet, that's right. So they said, what's the ruling in regard to this? Is that wetness in the dog's nose or the saliva? Some dogs are so slippery, you know. Is this something impure or najis? The majority of the fuqaha, they said, we don't differentiate between the dog's saliva or the dog, the witness of the nose, or the if you put your hand on the dog's back and it's wet because sweating, they said it's all najis. And that's a Shafi'i rahimahullah's madhab. And one narration from Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah also said it's sweat is najis. Okay? And the witness of the wet nose is also najis. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, one narration said that. Where is the proof? Their proof, they said, when the Prophet said, إِذَا وَلَغَ الْكَلْبُ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ. What's walagh? الولوغ, it means when he put his mouth inside the utensil. So he put his, means his mouth and his nose. Okay, so this means these two, if it comes into contact with any utensils, it will turn this utensil to something need to be purified. So they said that means it is najis. So it means it's not tahur, because the Prophet ﷺ said tahur, the purification of it. So that means maslubatu tahara, yani that utensil is not pure. And the only time we call something not pure, if you have one of two. I said that last class too. If you are missing one, when we consider this person is not tahur, if you what? If you have najasa, impurity, or you break your wudu. That's right. You can't pray. Obviously, breaking the wudu, al-hadath al-asghar, or al-akbar, is not something applicable to what? Al-hadath is not applicable to utensils. So what's left? Impurity. So that means that utensil is not tahir because of the najasa, not because of the hadath, obviously. Does it make sense? So that means that's the ulama, rahimahullah, said, that's basically what it is. They said that that's what our proof, that this, the Prophet ﷺ said, purifying this utensils is by washing it seven times. Not only one time, seven times. That means it's absolutely najis. So the Shafi'i said, and that's one narration from the Hanafi and the Hanbal, they said the following. They said, since the Prophet ﷺ said that about his mouth and nose, that applied to his tail, applied to his paw, applied to his back, applied to his hair, to everything in the dog. They said, since one part of it najis, so the rest is also najis. Is that clear? The second opinion, which is the official opinion of the Hanafis, and one narration from Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and that's the choice of Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah rahimahullah. They said that the only thing najis in the dog is his saliva. But his back, his saliva, and that basically that part of his nose, this is the najis part. But they said anything else on his body is not najis. Why? They said, what's their proof? They said, because simple reason. If everything in the dog is najis, if touching the dog's back or the hair or anything else in the dog najis, wouldn't the Prophet ﷺ inform the companions about this? That's right. He informed them about the mouth and about drinking from the water or utensils. So if also what he walk over with his feet is also najis, he would have tell us, any place where the dog walk, you should clean it. That's right. Any place where he sit, you should clean it. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do that. And we know that the dogs used to be very close to people in Medina. For instance, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, كُنْتُ أَنَامُ فِي مَسْجِدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I used to sleep in Masjid Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكُنْتُ فَتًا شَابًا عَزْبًا. I was a young man, a young single man. Okay? وَكَانَتِ الْكِلَابُ تَبُولُ وَتُقْبِلُ وَتُدْبِرُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. He said dogs used to come in and out and urinate. Or it doesn't necessarily to be urine. You know how the dogs, they may mark places? So maybe he saw them marking some places in the, they are dogs. And I don't think the dogs of the Sahaba is different than us. You know, dogs is dog. Okay, so he said they used to make that. While I'm sleeping in the masjid, watching them. And nobody used to kick them out. Nobody used to wash that after they do this. And that's the masjid. Here, Al-Bayhaqi, rahimahullah, got so confused about this hadith and a little bit irritated about the word tabool, urinate. And he said, this addition must be weak. Why? He said, because it's impossible logically that the Sahaba will let the dogs urinate in the masjid. But al-Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah said, no, the urination is authentic. You can't argue. But maybe Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was describing the case when the masjid has no walls. Okay? When the masjid was completely open, and he meant that they urinate around the masjid. Because there is no walls on the sides. So basically, if they are outside, like at the door here, is not necessarily where the people really pray and gather. So he said, maybe it is outside. And that's what Imam al-Khattabi, rahimahullah, said. But he said later on, when they build the walls and they had doors, the dogs cannot come anymore. Anyway, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, said, interesting point. He said, the hadith only spoke about what? Al-wulugh, putting the mouth inside the utensil. So if there is anything else is haram or need to be purified, he should have, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned other than the mouth. But the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't mention that. Also, they said, since the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allowed dogs to hunt, and that means you hold the dog, you let the go, you interact with the dog. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't tell the hunters, by the way, make sure that you, if you touch the back of the dog, it's najis, you wash your hand, or if it sit on your carpet, it's make it haram to pray there. He never mentioned anything like that. طيب. The third opinion, that the dog is absolutely pure. The saliva, the nose, the back, the hair, everything in the dog is pure, exactly like cats. There is no difference between cats and dogs when it comes to the purity of its body. And that's the position of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and the great Imam of Ahl al-Sham, Imam al-Awza'i, and the great scholar of Ahl al-Kufa, Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, and Imam al-Tabi'in, the great scholar of Medina, Imam Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahimahullah. And I can go on in many other names as well. Imam ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah, said that it is agreed upon that Malik and his students that the dog is absolutely nothing but pure. And the only reason we wash the utensil 7 times, it is ta'abudan. It is not because of impurity. It is because the Prophet ﷺ ordered us for a reason that it is just a pure worship, a pure following the sunnah, but not because of impurity. And he said, طيب, what about the Prophet ﷺ said, spill the water. Spill the water. They said, if this water is not impure, why the Prophet will waste the water? Especially in the old days, water is very valuable. They said that the Prophet ﷺ, when he said, spill the water, لَيْسَ أَمْرٌ لِلْوُجُوبُ وَإِنَّمَا لِلْنَدْبُ لِعِلَّةِ الْاِسْتِقْذَارِ. They said it is recommended because it is disgusting to eat and drink from the dog's food or the dog's water, to drink from the same water that the dogs drink. And you might say, but the Prophet ﷺ didn't say the same thing about cats. So I found an interesting thing. First of all, people will hate to drink after cats. That's why Nabi ﷺ told a man who drank with his left hand, he said, أَوَدِدْتُ أَنْ شَرِبَ مَعَكَ هِرْ. Would you like it if you drink with the cat? He said, no. Yani that means something nobody like it. So it is obvious, it is mustaqdar, something nobody would love to have it. It's also interesting that I found a research paper. You can look that online. What's the difference between the dog and the cat when they drink? They said, dogs, when they drink, they return back the water to the to the utensils. Cat never do that. Cat, when they drink, it never spit anything in the water. While dogs do that. And if you ever had a dog, and you notice when the dog drink, the water became murky because he spit inside the water. Cats don't do that. Cats is much cleaner than dogs. Like how women and men, exactly. Women are much cleaner than dogs and most of the men, sorry. Okay. Just, so anyway, it's a joke. They said, why, you know, even they said they have a cleaner mind than men because they always change their mind. They said that. It's just, anyway, so going back to the point, which is the dogs and the cats, there is like difference between them. But anyway, they said it's istiqdar because it's something people will not be interested in doing that. طيب, what's their evidence? Okay? What's the evidence that it is pure and it's not najis? They said, number one, Allah allowed us to hunt with dogs or not? Absolutely, in the Quran. And if the dog is najis, that means he will make whatever the dog catch najis as well. Whatever he bites, it became najis. And we never heard that the Prophet ﷺ said, by the way, when the dog catch the bird, make sure that you wash it 7 times, one of them with turab, like what the Shafi'iyya is saying. Nobody ever said that. Nobody will say that. And since it is an animal and it is allowed to use for hunting, it means it is pure. That's why whatever catch will be pure for you. Also, النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was asked in the hadith Abi Huraira, إن الكلاب والسباع تلغو في الحياض التي بين مكة والمدينة فقال ما في بطونها لها ما في بطونها ولنا ما بقي شراب وطهور. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he was asked, there is certain areas where there is in the desert will be a collection of water after the rain. But this collection of water, spots where water stagnant, gather. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, sometimes this water approached by dogs and siba' and animals, wild animals, and they drink from it. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, it has whatever what is inside it, and we have this water for us, tahur, pure for us. And he called it tahur, that means it's not najis. So if the dog will turn the water to najis, that water will not be allowed. The Prophet ﷺ was only referring to the najasa, referring onto the washing the utensils. He never mentions ﷺ anything about making it impure. He just said, wash it. If you understand from washing it, it means it became najis. So that means the water that they approach in the desert is also became najis. You might say, but ya Sheikh, maybe this water is large number. We say, did the Prophet make a distinguish between large and small? No. And if you're familiar with deserts and Yanoma, sometimes area will be a lot and sometimes will be less. It's not like common thing. Also, they said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, Jibreel came to me last night. And the Jibreel did not approach in the house. They didn't enter the house. Why? Then the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was told that inside your house was a dog. Okay? That's why Jibreel didn't enter the house. What's the dog? It's the dog belonged to Al-Hasan wal-Husayn. It's a puppy. Jaru lil-Hasan al-Husayn. Tahta nadadin lahum. Okay? Al-Nadad, يعني شيء منضود, يعني منسوج. It's like a piece of furniture. And the dog was hiding, like couch or, you know, or table, whatever. He's hiding underneath of it. And the Nabi Sassam didn't notice it. And this hadith reported by Imam Ahmad and Dawood and Nasa'i as well. طيب, And it's been said maybe underneath the as-sarir, which is the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here, we say that this dog, in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them to get it out. We know that the dog sit and the dog lick and the dog sniff. That's right. If the dog was najis, don't you think in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have ordered them to wash these places? That's right. But the Nabi sallallahu never did. But you might say, but there is a narration where the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam amara binadhi al-ma'i makana. He ordered to spray water where it was. We say spraying water is not washing. Riwayat al-nadh is actually a proof for us that it's not najis. Because if it's najis, he will say ahriqu alayh, like the urine of the man in the masjid said, pour water over it when the man urinated in the floor. But that's the Prophet said, spray just water here and there where it was. Because again, human beings feel not comfortable to be in the same place where the saliva of the dog, or maybe, you know, so the Prophet just did that. But that shows you that is really not a proof that it is najis. Also, one of the evidence that they said, the hadith Ibn Umar that I mentioned early, where the dog used to come to the masjid and enter and exit. And again, the dogs always sniff and basically touch the ground with their nose. And that shows you that they did that, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't order the Sahaba to clean that or look after it if it's najas. Also, one of the evidence that they said, they asked the first group of scholars, and they said, do you guys believe that the urine of the dog najis? They said what? Yes. Do you believe that the feces of the dog najis? What they would say? What they would say? Yes, obviously. That's right. Taib, if the dog urinated in a utensil or poop in a utensil and a plate, do you guys believe you must wash it 7 times, one of them with sand? They said no. They would say that the hadith specifically said about licking and drinking from it. So they said, the Maliki would say, so which one is worst, the urine and the feces or the saliva? No doubt that the urine and feces is worst. But still you don't do it 7 times. And the hadith didn't speak about it 7 times. So that means the 7 times for the saliva, it's not because of the impurity. It for something else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do it for another reason. But the Prophet ﷺ never told us exactly what is that reason is. Okay? And that's their argument. He said the hadith about 7 times, it's our proof to tell you that if it is najasa, 3 would have been enough. 1, it would be enough. Okay? 7 times with water would be enough. But We never heard that the Sharia ever comes to tell you that you purify najasa with 2, with sand, soil, and water. It's never heard before, no matter how this najasa is, or how bad it is. So that means there is another reason behind this order from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, there is other evidence that they have, rahimahullah ta'ala, and I personally believe that the Maliki's madhab is the strong madhab, is a very strong madhab, and I believe also that this is more suitable to the Muslims who live in the West, because how many times I would be asked, oh, I passed by my neighbor and he let their dog touch my clothes. Okay, or my basically neighbor came and, or I wasn't at my in-laws, a new Muslims, or someone like, you know, visiting neighbors, or someone is non-Muslim, or in the airport. I have a brother who was telling me that he washed his suitcase 7 times and with sand because the customs and border protection's dog smelled his dog or licked his suitcase and his clothes and all those things. So that, I believe, here especially in the West, there is haraj and mashaqqa for many Muslims to deal with this issue of purifying the saliva of the dog. As for the dog's feces and the dog's urine, Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah said that Al-Bayhaqi said, أَجْمَعَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ عَلَى نَجَاسَةِ بَوْلِ الْكَلْبِ وَعَذْرَتِ. There is a consensus, an agreement between all the Muslim scholars that the urine and the feces of the dog is something impure. طيب, how can we purify it? طيب, if it has food in it or water. If it is, because the Prophet said, spill the water. So it means also you can make qiyas analogy, and he said, throw the food away. Let's say you are putting your food, and the dog comes and basically touch your food. It's your chicken about to eat it. Okay, and came, and maybe for many of you is not a very common scenario, but if you are a new Muslim, that's very common scenario happen. If you have non-Muslims who comes, or you visit some people non-Muslims, you know, in their homes, it's a very common scenario could be happen. Or maybe the food that came to you from your neighbor, who knows, you know, if it is touched by a dog or not. So what would you do in something like that? The Maliki said, you are allowed to eat the food, obviously because they don't believe it's najis, but you must clean the plate. By the way, the Maliki who said it's pure, they still believe you have to clean it 7 times, one of them with the sand, because that's the Prasam order, but not because of impurity. And they said, for the water, because the Prophet explicitly said, it will be spilled, so you have to spill it. But they said for the food, no. Other ulama, rahimahumullah, said, no, you can make analogy. The water, the food take the same ruling of the water. طيب. And you heard me saying, before, that this is applied to this narration. Spill is the debate over the authenticity of it. طيب, some ulama rahimahullah said there is exceptions. The exception is if the dog is a seen dog, if the dog is a dog that service dog, yani, a dog that for hunting, the dog that the Prophet allowed us to possess. They said if that dog eat or drink from a utensil, you can use this utensil without washing it 7 times. But Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said that's not correct. And one of the good evidence that he mentioned 4 or 5 times ways of, he refuted this from 4 or 5 different ways. But one of the good points that he mentioned, that if you look at the hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, رَخَّصَ فِي كَلْبِ الصَّيْدِ وَكَلْبِ الْغَنَمِ وَقَالَ إِذَا وَلَغَ الْكَلْبُ فِي إِنَاءِ حَرِفِي. نفس الحديث. In the hadith, the Prophet gave the permission to have a dog, for a shepherd to have a dog, or a hunter to have a dog. And he said, and if the dog, if a dog basically eat or drink from, drink or put his mouth in the utensil, you should wash it 7 times. So the Prophet mentioned it after he mentioned the permissibility of having these kind of dogs. طيب. How, yes. Like what I said, the Maliki said you are allowed because it's pure, but the majority said, no, you should spill it, throw it away and wash it 7 times, one of them with sand first. طيب, how we wash it? Okay? The Prophet ﷺ seven times, the first one with sand. The narration of the first one with sand is the most authentic narration among all of them. The most authentic, without going to details, there is a lot of hadith, details here. But riwayat, أولهن هي أحفظ الروايات. The narrators of this riwayat are the most accurate narrators. Okay? And makes perfect sense. Because if you take the narrations, can anybody tell me here? Let's say you know nothing about ilm al-hadith. You know nothing about the narrator. But I want you just used to common sense. استخدم يعني عقلك بس ببساطة. The narrations, the last one with sand doesn't work. Because you have a narration said the first, and I have a narration the last. The last can't work logically. Why? Yeah, because the sand, it has to be washed. That's right. Water. Then you put a sand in the end. Well, you're going to keep it with sand. You have to wash the sand. So it makes no sense. That's why al-ulama rahimahullah said that the narration of the first is the most authentic narration. Very obvious. Okay? So they said the sand in the beginning, because when you clean it with the sand, it will take all the saliva and whatever from the dog attached to this utensil. It will wash it away. Then the water comes to clean it afterwards. How you do that? Do you put the sand, then you pour the water? Or you mix the sand with water outside and make it like Maria and you wash it? It doesn't matter. The ulama said it, both ways can be done. You put a sand, then you put water in. Or you put water a little bit, then you put the sand on the top of it so you can use it. Both, okay. طيب. نعم. We're coming to this. It's coming. Also, العلماء رحمه الله said that there is one narration in Sahih Muslim. ثامنهن بالتراب وعفروه الثامنة بالتراب. What he said? And make the eighth with sand. يعني this concept, this narrations, الإمام بالدقيق العيد رحمه الله said, the only one who took this narrations and applied literally was Al-Hasan al-Basri. No one else among the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Atba' al-Tabi'een, the early generation ever reported that he took that position. But the Shawkani, rahimahullah, said, it doesn't matter because the hadith is explicit. The narration is clear. And the eighth one should be, he should be dusted or with sand. And Shawkani, rahimahullah, said, and that's, by the way, one opinion from Imam Malik, one narration from Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala. And it is not true that there is nobody have done this before. He said, Imam Malik, also one narration from him, that you do the eighth one with sand. And Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, have mentioned that as well. As for the eighth, Imam Shafi'i said, I don't know if this authentic narration or not. So Shawkani said, Imam Shafi'i didn't know, but we know it's authentic. It's in Sahih Muslim. Okay, and Al-Bayhaqi said this narrations basically narrated by Abu Hurairah, and Abu Hurairah is the most reliable companion. So Shawkani said, we never heard that methodology before, because Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, the one who said the eighth, is another companion, and trustworthy as well. You know, you can't make that. So he completely didn't agree with them. Anyway, Al-Shawkani, Al-Sanani, rahimahumullah, they both goes with Al-Hasan al-Basri and the Zahiris. They said that the eighth should apply as well. So you can do the first or the eighth. So that means you do seven and the eighth one is sent. But I don't agree with that, because what it seems to be that the meaning of the eighth, as Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, and others said, it means you do six. Okay, and after you do the sixth, the seventh one, you put the sand then you wash it with water. واضح؟ So that's what it means. So it's not eight, as if you consider the putting the sand as it's one, but actually it's the water that comes next will make it the seventh. Anyway, the majority of the fuqaha, rahimahumullah, like Shafi'i and Malik and Ahmad, said you must do this seven times. Abu Hanifa said, no, three times is enough. Anything beyond three, it is sunnah. Three washing, you didn't even need sand. Abu Hanifa doesn't believe in the sand, doesn't believe in the seven as must. Why? They said the hadith is just encouraging us, but it's not must. طيب, how do you know that the hadith encouraging us? You might say the question, that's right? You might say, how Abu Hanifa will come to this? The hadith explicit. Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, based this on narrations from Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah, remember, the one who narrated the hadith of seven times. Abu Hurairah, radiallahu an, said, he himself said, that when the dog eat or drink from your utensil, you only wash it three times. قَالَ يُغْسَلُ ثَلَاثًا. But to be honest with you, this narration from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is in Ad-Darqutni and others, also been narrated in another way, exactly like the hadith, seven times, one of them with sand. And the narration of three is weak. So you have one weak narration said three, and one authentic narration from him saying seven. طيب, even if we say, Ya Abu Hanifa, let's agree that Abu Hurairah's narration of three is authentic. Malik and Shafi'i and Ahmad said, in this case, we don't leave what the Prophet ﷺ said for what the companions understood. Al-ibrah, hal hiya bima ra'a am bima rawa. There is a debate, a long debate in Usul al-Fiqh, when the Sahabi narrate a hadith, and he has an opinion about it. Should we take his opinion over the text, or we take the text over his opinion? الصحيح من كلام أهل العلم أن هذا يختلف. The strong opinion that it depends. إذا كان ما روى نص فالعبرة بما روى. If what he narrated is explicit, you take what he narrated over his opinion. وإن كان ما روى مبهم محتمل فالعبرة بما رأى لأنه أعلم الناس بالرواية. If what he narrated was ambiguous, something not clear, so his opinion should be taken and should be, the text should be understood. Because here you have the understanding of the narrator and the understanding of someone comes 100 years later. I will take the understanding of the Sahabi because he was there witnessing the incident. Does that make sense? And that's how, wallahu a'lam, in this mas'alatul usul, يعني, this is a summary of a long debate between العلماء رحمهم الله تعالى. Can you use soap, detergent, instead of sand? Some ulama said, no, the sand is mentioned in the hadith, so it should be the one only used. And that will be the Shafi'iyah, the Hanabilah, and Ibn Hazm. And by the way, in the old days, they used to have soap. It's not true that they don't. They do have soap. And they don't have, chemical is not the point. The point is, do they have other methods of cleaning other than the sand? The answer is yes. They have soap and they can use it. But did the Prophet ﷺ give them the permission to use soap? Is known as al-ashnan, for example, where the Prophet ﷺ ordered the woman after they finish or ghusl, when they make the ghusl, to use al-ashnan, or men, to clean themselves. He didn't say that to use it for utensils. So soap was not an option. That's why Shafi'iyya and the Hanabila and Ibn Hazm said no. Other scholars, which is one opinion among the Shafi'iyya, and this is the famous position of the Hanabila. They said anything will be acceptable. Sand or non-sand. Okay? What I go with, personally, which is an opinion that some Shafi'i and some Hanbali says it, we said, if the sand is not available, if the sand is not easy to reach or to have. In this case, you can use soap, you can use whatever you want. But what if he touched your clothes? If the dog licked your clothes, would that make you? The majority who said it's impure, they will said yes, you have to wash the clothes 7 times with the sand. Okay? And among them, Shaykh Rashid ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And also Shaykh, some great scholars like in Fatawa al-Lajnah Da'ima and Ghairiha, they said 7 times, the first one with sand. And yeah, but the washer doesn't have a sand. No, but the Prophet said a sand. So that's, you take a sand and you put it here and you do like this. Tafruk biha. That's the opinion of those scholars. He said you do like this. Okay? So that's the opinion of those scholars. But there's other opinion also among Hawa'i al-Ulama. It says this does not apply to clothes. And that's what I choose also. Why? Because the Prophet said, "Fi ina'i ahadikum," in the utensil. I don't believe it's najis at all. So, for me, it's not an issue at all. But for those who believe it's najis, even if I believe it's najis, it should not apply to the clothes, because the Nabi ﷺ was very specific speaking about what? Utensils. And the Nabi ﷺ said that. So it should not apply to other things. Also because what the brother trying to mention, if we say 7 times with sand, في مشقة على الناس, that make things difficult. And the Sharia will not come to put people in difficulties. So that's why I would say that it is not need for 7 times. But what about the urine and the feces? It's just to clean it. Doesn't need to be 7 times. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah and the Shafi'i almost agree on that. Can we make analogy to the pigs? If the pigs eat from utensils, do you wash it 7 times with sand? That's some ulama said that, like Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. But Imam Nawawi, who is a great Shafi'i scholar, said the strong opinion that only 1 time with no sand, like any other najasa, because the hadith is specific in the dogs and should be limited to the dog. So these are some of the issues that I thought it will be beneficial to share with you about the dogs. Sorry, it's kind of late, but I hope this was beneficial, that you understand all the ruling of that related to the dogs and the issue of najasa and tahara of the dog. Okay, the summary. The summary is that what I believe is that the dogs, if they drink or eat from a utensils, that this utensil must be basically whatever in it to be thrown away, and it must be washed 7 times, the first one with sand. And if there is no sand, you can use detergent or soap, whatever is methods that you can clean with. Chemical spray, chemical, whatever will clean it. So that's number one. Number two, if that doesn't apply to the clothes that you wear, only to the utensils, that you drink from or you eat from, use it for food. We say, nothing. Okay, because I believe it's not najis. That's why. Also, we say that the dogs are the 7 times. The first one should be with the sand. Okay, but if you make it the second or the third, it doesn't matter, because just the sunnah to do the 7 times, and it must be 7. It's not less than 7. Pigs doesn't take the same ruling. You can add the sand with water and wash it, or you can put water, then you put the sand on the top of it. It doesn't really make a difference in this case. That's the summary of what we said. Very good. If a person has wudu and the dog touch you. See, here some ulama said the dogs is the saliva of the dog najis. Some people said not najis. Both of them will tell you your wudu is perfect. The only difference will be those who believe the saliva of the dog is not najis tell you you can go pray straight. Those who believe it's najis will tell you you have to wash the area where the dog touched you 7 times, one of them with sand. Those who believe that, like the Shafi'iyya and the Hanabi. Well, some of the Hanabi, not all of them. Huh? And I believe it's pure, it's not najis. I will walk, I wouldn't have problem. Do you remember, guys, we had here a sister, a woman, prayed with us. She had a seen dog. She came to the masjid, prayed with us, Aisha. This woman been looking for a masjid. She wants to enter masjid for a whole year. All the masjid in Houston turned her down. So the interfaith called me, said, this lady, she wants to enter, she a whole year tried to enter masjid. She lives on the other side of town. And she really wanted to experience being in a masjid. But every masjid I reach out to, they said, cannot walk with the dog. And she said, she doesn't feel comfortable to leave the dog outside the area or anything like that. So he said, would you mind to accommodate her? I said, yeah, she can come. And she came and we put like a sheet just for everybody to feel comfortable, because in the masajid, you don't deal with my madhab only. We deal with majority of people. We have to respect peoples as well. So we put like a sheet in the back, and the dog came. So even the dog didn't touch, because these are very well trained. And she entered the masjid. And when I talked to her, she's like legally blind. Like she had tears in her eyes when she told me how this is the most beautiful experience she ever had in her life when she heard Salat al-Maghrib. And she stayed until she prayed the Isha. She stayed the Isha, and she heard, she attended the Isha prayer as well. Everybody laughed. She said, I'm staying until Isha. She said, I never felt so relaxed and peaceful like this before. And I said, Yani, it's sad when we have this phobia from dogs. The Tinnabi masjid used to come in and out, and they don't have a problem with that. So I hope this will give you a little bit of idea about what the dogs are, what the ruling on. Because sometimes you have to deal with it in your business, in your, you know, in your neighbors, and so on. But just last point before the doctor leaves. These saying it is allowed to, it's not najis, it doesn't give the permission to possess a dog for no valid reason. Iqtina'ul kelb, possessing a dog, is a different rule. You're not allowed to have a dog unless there is a valid reason for it. Like your security, you have it for seen dog. It's a service dog. So in Islam, the ulama rahimahullah agreed that just having the dog, there is no consensus. Also, I want to mention that. And Shawkani rahimahullah said that from the hadith of Al-Hasan al-Husayn, it shows you that the Prophet ﷺ allowed the dog, yani Allah, he didn't object to Al-Hasan al-Husayn to have that dog in there. And he said some ulama allowed that, but the vast, vast majority of the scholars said you cannot have dogs unless for a service dog. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Muhammad.